Thank you for tuning in to IGH 260, a one chapter per week, 260 week, 5 year long study of the New Testament. Today's broadcast, lesson number 3 of week number 22, studying Matthew chapter 22. As we get started, these reminders. For all of our free materials, click the word free at internationalgospelhour.com. Two new books are available for download at that page. The first book, Receiving the Gift of Salvation, and the second one, Surrendering to His Lordship. Download those books for free today and be blessed when you read and study them. For text updates, text IGHFREE, all one word, to this number, 55222. Text IGHFREE to 55222. To study the Bible online, go to igh.worldbibleschool.org to get started, or click the online courses link at internationalgospelhour.com. To study the Bible by mail, call toll-free 1-855-IGH-6988 for a free 30-lesson series, or use the contact form at internationalgospelhour.com to request that series. Let's get back into our study of Matthew chapter 22. In our last broadcast, we noted that Jesus delivered 3 parables in a row about the kingdom of God, or the kingdom of heaven. 2 of those parables appeared in Matthew chapter 21. The 3rd appeared as Matthew chapter 22 began. All 3 parables have this objective: to get the religious leaders to realize just how far away they were from the kingdom of God. In the first parable in the series, the parable about the vineyard owner and his 2 sons, Jesus told the religious leaders that tax collectors and harlots would enter the kingdom of heaven before they would. The message of Jesus' second parable: the kingdom would be taken away from these religious leaders, and the kingdom would be given to nations and peoples who would truly honor and glorify the Father. In the 3rd and the final parable, Jesus ended with a very definitive statement of judgment. The offending wedding guest, representing those who were not properly prepared to be his kingdom disciples, was cast into outer darkness where there would be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Matthew 22, verse 13. Jesus ended that parable with these words: "For many are called, but few are chosen." At the end of Jesus' second parable, his audience perceived that he was speaking of them, but though they wanted to stop Jesus, they were afraid to do so because the multitudes believed that Jesus was a prophet. Matthew 21, 41 through 45. At the end of this 3rd and final parable in the series, we read no explicit statement that tells us that Jesus' audience knew that he was speaking of them. Their plots to entangle him, however, seems to imply that they knew quite well that Jesus had just indicted them once again. Before we get into the verse-by-verse, thought-by-thought study of the chapter, consider this. The overall tension that was building through Matthew was, as we have explained it, seen throughout his narrative in many ways. As Jesus' ministry and his fame and miracles grew, so did the opposition to Jesus' teaching. That's reflected in part by the increasing number of questions asked to challenge Jesus. We are not there yet, but in the next chapter, Matthew chapter 23, we will read Jesus' most direct, most explicit denunciation of the scribes and of the Pharisees. In that chapter, Jesus was no longer using the parables as a setup to ask obvious questions, all of which led Jesus to pronounce judgment on them. There, in Matthew 23, like the last of the 3 parables that we will see in Matthew 22, Jesus was much more pointed and overt in his statements of judgment. That's seen through his repeated use of the word woe, a term that clearly warned these leaders of their doom if they did not repent. Before we start moving through Matthew chapter 22 in our verse-by-verse, thought-by-thought study of the chapter, let's give a bit more thought to the significance of these parables that we are discussing. We have already noted that Jesus presents three successive parables, all of them addressing the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of God in some way. We have also observed that they have a similar objective, to warn Jesus' hearers, primarily the religious leaders of the day, that entrance into the kingdom was not automatically granted to them because of ancestry or heritage, because of presumed religious privilege, or any other man-made beliefs or practices. Furthermore, those whom these religious leaders disdained, the publicans, the tax collectors, the harlots, the Gentiles, the multitudes, and so forth, were described as more likely to be in the kingdom of heaven before these religious leaders. Though there remains a sense in which these parables were designed to put the religious leaders in their place, there's another, even stronger element that we need to consider. Immediately before Jesus begins these parables, he was challenged by the chief priests and the elders, who confronted him as he was teaching and said, "By what authority are you doing these things? And who gave you this authority?" Matthew 21, verse 23. When Jesus replied by asking questions about John's authority, Jesus was not necessarily attempting to divert their questions. He was, in fact, in a roundabout way, actually going to answer them. What John taught about baptism either came from heaven or from men. Those were the only two possibilities. But they were not the only two possibilities with regard to what John taught. They were the only two possibilities with regard to what anybody taught religiously, including the chief priests, the elders, the scribes, the Pharisees, the Sadducees, and so forth, even including Jesus. After Jesus asked the chief priests and the elders questions about John's baptism, they considered the alternatives, concluded that they liked neither of them, and then told Jesus, "We do not know." Jesus responded by saying, "Neither will I tell you by what authority I do these things." Matthew 21, verse 27. If we stop right there, we might assume that Jesus was not going to address the issue of authority that he was initially confronted with in Matthew 21, verse 23. Or we might see that the three Kingdom of Heaven, Kingdom of God parables actually answered their question. In the first parable, Jesus authoritatively said that others would enter the kingdom of God before you, and that they would do so because of their, that is, the chief priests and the elders, failure to believe John, Matthew 21, verse 31. Jesus, in this parable, conclusively demonstrated that John's baptism was definitely divine, that is, from heaven in its origin. But Jesus would only know this if indeed he himself also spoke with divine authority. In the second parable, Jesus even more emphatically emphasized his own divine authority. He did so when he quoted Scripture in Matthew chapter 21, verse 42, a Scripture that was messianic in its import and a Scripture that applied unequivocally to Jesus himself. Thus, in his concluding remarks in this parable, Jesus clearly affirmed his divine authority. And as we continue, we will see that Jesus' presentation of the kingdom of heaven as a marriage, as a wedding feast, would, for the third time, uphold his authority. Thus, rather than avoid their question about his authority, Jesus answered it in a way that unconditionally showed that his authority was indeed from God the Father. Let's start working our way through Matthew chapter 22, verse by verse and thought by thought. In Matthew chapter 22, verses 1 through 14, Jesus presents the kingdom of heaven as wedding parable. In Matthew chapter 22, verse 1, we see that Jesus began speaking in parables again. In our earlier overview, we noted that this chapter begins without any break, just where Matthew chapter 21 ends. This reinforces what we have repeatedly observed in our study of Matthew. Though helpful for the location and the citation of biblical text, book, chapter, and verse references are often quite arbitrary. They do not always indicate a significant shift in time, in place or topic in a given text. That's not necessarily a criticism, but merely a reminder that we need to read every biblical text as it flows from thought to thought and from topic to topic without viewing the man-made chapter and verse divisions as some kind of hard break in Matthew's narrative. We know that because of the way the chapter starts. And Jesus answered and spoke to them again by parables. The word again, of course, tells us that Jesus was already speaking by parables. But Jesus was not just speaking again in parables. The text tells us that Jesus continued to answer them again in parables. Remember, Matthew 21, verse 45 informs us that Jesus' audience included the chief priests and the Pharisees. When they heard Jesus' parables, they knew that Jesus was speaking to them and that Jesus was speaking about them. Why was Jesus speaking to them and about them in parables? Jesus was doing so to answer, that is, to counter, to correct, to reprove their false beliefs and behaviors. And Jesus was doing so on an ongoing basis. This reinforces what we have noted earlier. Jesus used the first two parables in this series of parables to introduce a question that was both easy to answer and a question that would prove certain to incriminate his hearers. And now, in this final parable, Jesus would, so to speak, deal the final blow to their false ideas and practices. Finally, consider this. This was the third parable in the series. The gospel records often recount Jesus' teaching in series of three. In the parable of the Good Samaritan, for example, there were three characters introduced. First, the priest. Second, the Levite. And third, the Samaritan. And in this type of series, the third character introduced was always the hero. In the series of lost things in Luke chapter 15, we read of the lost sheep, the lost coin, and, most importantly, the parable of the lost son. In this series of three, the next parable, the one that we find in Matthew chapter 22, was the most important. It ends with that powerful spiritual truth, "For many are called, but few are chosen." In our next broadcast, we will take up at this point and continue our study of Matthew 22. This reminder as we conclude. To start our free, self-paced online Bible study, go to igh.worldbibleschool.org. We hope that you can join us as we study God's Word together in our next broadcast.